we'll start the bottom of Yud Gimel and Amud Bet at the two dots. So our Mishnah had said that Rishut HaNizak VeHamazik. So the question is, Gemara doesn't know how to parse that part of the Mishnah, because Rishut HaNizak VeHamazik, we don't know if it belongs to the statement beforehand, or belongs to the, actually to the statement afterwards. How do you read it? Do you read it as Uvechol Makom Chul Rishut HaMechedet HaMazik, which is clearly Patur. Then you have Rishut HaNizak VeHamazik, and then we have a statement of Kishetazik HaVeHamazik. So there's a statement of Ketur before, the statement of Chiyuv afterwards, and then we have the statement in between. The Gemara doesn't know which side it belongs to, the Chiyuv or the Ketur side. So we have two opinions in the Amoraim. Amrav Chizdam Ravimi, Chaser Ashutvin, when you have a chaser that's jointly owned, Chayav Bala Shein Varegel. Then Shein Varegel, you are Chayuv in such a location. V'chachik Amar, this is how to read the Mishnah. Chutz Mirshutam Yuchedet Amazik, the Patur. Right, Rishut HaMazik is patur because you don't have any rights to be in there. Therefore, you are, you know, he's patur for any damage he does to you. Rishut HaNizak VaMazik sheChezik chavamazik. So Rishut HaNizak VaMazik, when you have joint ownership over a place, then they'll have like the regular dinim of nizakin, and you'll be chayiv in that instance. Parties does damages to the other party's materials, right? Rav Elazar Amar patur al hashein v'al haregel. No. The way to read this is that you're going to be patur in such an instance. Why? Because you have permission to be there. If you have permission to be there, that's not called uvi'er b'steyacher. This isn't on somebody else's field. This is your field. Machik amar, chutz mishutam yuchedet lemazik, birishut anizak v'mazik, nami patur. Both of those are turim. Uchishefizik ha'vamazik latu yekeren. And the last statement in the Mishnah is an independent statement, and that independent statement means that we come to include with that statement, chizik ha'vamazik latum is talking about Karen. The Gemara says, Anicha the Shmuel. You remember early on we had a machlokas between Rab and Shmuel. Rab says that the Mishnah says, Shur, that means Chomil is Shur. Mave means Adam. And Shmuel on the other hand says, no. Shur means Shane. Mave means, Shur means Regel. Mave means Shane. And then we got Karen from this extra statement. That works well going to Shmuel. But what do you think about Rab? Rab, the Gemara says, Shur, Chomil is Shur. Chava Mazik Letuye. What is that coming to include? It's coming to include this extra case. Right? What does that come to include? Right? So say it was damage was done to a behemoth in their possession. Then a tam pays half damage, a muad pays full damage. Nifritz of Alila broke out at night. Or listim broke it out at night. Both these are instances of onus. Damage patur. So now they're going to explain the statement. Fine, that's what it includes. But what is that case? What's so unique about that case? Amar mar. Because yechizik chava mazik lavi shomer chinam vashoel noses zachar vasocher heichidami. What is this case? Ilema the azkei Torah de mashkil the Torah de shoel. What happened here? The shoel, the borrower, has the shore of the Mashiel in his possession, then the shore of the Mashiel goes out and damages the Shoel's own shore. And it goes out and damages the Shoel's own shore. Lamele. So why doesn't the, excuse me, why doesn't the owner of the shore, who lent it to this individual, say to him, Ilu aziz ba'alma bait lishlumen. Ah, right? If this animal had gone out in general and damaged, you the Shoel, you the borrower, would be responsible for any damage it did. Hashka the Azke the Tardi Dach. Now all of a sudden because it damaged your own shore, Be'inam Lishlume, now I have to pay up? Doesn't make any sense. Why should I be more responsible when it damages your shore versus it damages a third party's shore? It's your responsibility to watch the shore, and that should be irrespective of what shore damages. Hello. Must be a case, the Azke Tardi the Shoel the Tardi Mashil. That one of the Shoel, one of the borrower's own Shvarim, damages the shore that he has borrowed. So Lemalay, Iluiz Zak Mi Almo, had this shore, you, the shore that you borrowed, been damaged by someone else's shore, by the Shulume Kule. Right there, you would have to pay for the entire value of the shore. Why? Because the Shoel is Chayav even in Onsin. So the Shoel is responsible for anything that happens to the animal. So if another animal had come along and damaged this animal, you'd have to pay the full amount. Hashko, the Adke Tardi Dach. All of a sudden, because it's your shore that damages my shore, I mean, you, the borrower, it's your shore that that damages the shore that you borrowed, meaning my shore. All of a sudden, you're going to pay half damages? Why should you get a break just because it's your own behemoth that's damaging my behemoth? So Gemara says, look, the old, the Azkei Torah de Mashkil, the Torah de Shoel. It's a case where the the borrowed shore, the damage to the shoel shore. But how come my skin? But it's a unique set of circumstances. What's that? Shekibel alav shmirat gufo, v'lo kibel alav shmirat nizakal. He accepted responsibility for the animal itself, any damage that happens to the animal, but did not accept responsibility for any damage that the animal does. And so, if it gets hurt, I'll pay you, I'll take care of it. If it goes down and does damage, that's your problem. So Mar says, if that's the case, ema seifa. What are you going to do with the second part of the verse that we quoted over here? That doesn't make so much sense. What? Second part we said, nifritza belaila, osha partzu alistim. If it breaks out at night, it's broken out by listim, that's the case of onavi. Zika patur. That case is patur. Habayom. Had it happened during the day where it wasn't classified as onesh, he would be chayav. But you just said now, he never accepted any responsibility for any damage it does. So why should he be chayav in this instance? So Mara goes, okay, reread it this way. Hachi kamar. Im kibel alav shmirat nizakav, chayav. So then the Mara interjects the second statement, right? Okay, here's the first case. The first case is where he doesn't accept responsibility for damage it does, only damage done to it. Then the Bryce switches and says, now, if he also accepted responsibility for the damage it does, your chayav, nifritz belailo is part two of his team. Even in that instance, if he accepted the responsibility for going out and doing damage, if it's getting out by onus, it happens by onus that it gets out, you have to zika patur. In that instance, you're patur. Obviously, biyom, you'd be chayav because then it wouldn't be an onus, and you accept the responsibility for it. So the Gemara says, ini, is this really true? Is this all really true? What Rabbi Lazar suggested? Rabbi Lazar suggested that when it comes to chatur ashusvim, you are patur when it comes to shein v'regel. Right, that's Rabbi Lazar's position. We explained Rabbi Lazar's position both in Shmuel and Rav. Now the Gemara is going back to challenge Rabbi Lazar's position that really when you have a chatur ashusvim, are you really chayiv in chatur and shein v'regel? Why? Ba'atani Rav Yosef, an explicit, right? Raisa, or a memra from Rav Yosef, chatur ashusvim, va'kundak, chayav behen ala shein v'regel. Joint chatur partners in a chatur in a courtyard, and a pundak. A pundak is a motel type of setting where everybody kind of rents into this location. They have all joint ownership while they're renting there. But it's not Rishus Rabin because not everybody has the permission to be there. Only people who rent in the hotel can be there. So that is chayav behen ala shein v'regel. So it's explicit that a chatur should be is chayav shein v'regel. So how can Rabbi Lazar come along and make it say that, no, you're p'turim. My sister, you to the Rabbi Lazar. It's a strong question against Rabbi Lazar. So Amar Lachor Rabbi Lazar, if it's Isbara, does that really make sense? Matnita Milo Plige? Don't we have other Brisos or other Tanoim that disagree? I mean, why are you so sure that this is the only member out there? Vahatanya. We have this exact kakik. Arba'at Lalot Hayar Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar Omer Ben Nizakin. Right? He used to establish four principles in Nizakin. Koshehu Rishut Nizak Velo Lamazik Chayav Bakol. Anything that belongs to the damagee, right, then the mazik is chayav for any damage done there, because he basically doesn't have permission to be there, and it'd be chayav. The mazik, velo l'nizak, on the head, if it belongs to the damager, right, not the damagee, then he's patur min hakol, because he can say to him, what are you doing inside of my field? You don't have permission to be here. So I'm not responsible for the fact that your stuff ended up in my possession. Lazeu lazeh. So in the case where it's both owned by both of them, shared ownership, you own chaser shutvim, right, partners in a area, va'bika, or the bika, which is a shared valley area where all the farms are together, patur, ba'al ashein v'al regel. You see explicitly that this is going to be this is what Rav Elazar is after, that there you are patur for shein and regel, because that's shutvim, and that's not called bi'er b'seach there, in someone else's field. This is also my field. All of those are told those to Karen. Basically, it's saying in Karen. So when it comes to Karen, even in that instance, you still pay Chati Nezek and Nezek Shalem because Karen doesn't have, Karen's even Chayiv in Rishut HaRabim. Because it's Kavanatol Azik, it's not that it has even in Rishut HaRabim. Even anywhere, it's Chayiv except for the case where it goes into the property of the Mazik. Lo lezev, lo lezev. Property that belongs to neither of them. You go in chaser sheinu shel shnehem. Chayev bala shein v'regel. In that instance, it's chayev v'shein v'regel. Al negicha v'al nishicha v'al negifa v'al bita v'al bita. On all the toldot of Karen, ta mishalem chati nezek, muad mishalem nezek shalem. Right, all of these cases, the Gemara is going to go back later on and describe one by one and discuss the cases. But, nevertheless, tani mihat, this is what Rabbi Lazar was after. Chaser shutvim v'abika patur la shein v'al regel. That if it's explicit that chatur shufin is chatur al shein regel, exactly like the position of Rabbi Elazar. So now what are we going to do? Kashya Hadodi. Right, there's a stira between this brisa, right, that we just brought now, and the Tani Rabbi Yosef. So what are you going to do with this stira? What's this? Ben the payrolls, ben the shvarim. Right, what is this? That depends on... Right, the possibility is different opinions. Or Kasha Dodi. So, right, either you could say that they're two different opinions, or the Gemara is going to try to resolve, right, reconcile the two different opinions. So you're right, in the end it could have been, but the Gemara wants to narrow the machlokas down. So it says here that, oh, no, what is this? Because there, where it's Mikhwedet Lazel Lazeh, Ben the Peirot, Ben the Shvarim. Right, so that is a case where their chaser is open to both of them. Both for their payrolls, using putting their fruits and stuff there, and for their shvarim. Therefore becomes a chaser ashutvim, and therefore he is patur, right? Because just like in Rishut Rabim you're patur, also here it'd be the same equivalent of Rishut Rabim. Because you have permission to be there, he has permission to be there, right? Even though it's a narrower, you know, group of individuals, but you, the mazik and nizak, both have permission to be there, you're patur shen regel, and you're chayav in keren. That's the case. Now, either of Yosef, what's the case for Rav Yosef or your chayav? That's because miyuchedet peirot, ve'enim miyuchedet l'shvarim. It's a case where you both have permission to put peirot there, but you don't have permission to bring your animals in there. So since you both have permission to bring peirot in there, right, then I can leave my fruits, you can leave your fruits there, but then when your shor comes in and eats my fruits, that's bir v'seacher, because your shor being in there is not permissible. So the gav is shein, have you lost chaser and nizak? Because when it comes to shein, right, then it really belongs to the chaser and nizak, because your shor is inappropriately in there. Deganami, I can show you that this difference exists between the two brachos. Why? The kani hokos dumia de pundak. By Rabbi Yosef, it says similar to a pundak. Ukani hosam over here says dumia de bika. Right? Shmamina. So in a pundak, in a motel is normally a place where people bring their wares, they sleep there overnight, they don't expect there to be shvarim walking around the motel eating their stuff up. Right? So that's a case where they have permission to bring their metalkal in, their fruits, their stuff there. But the shvarim have to be left outside. If your shore is in there, then in that case it's going to be chaser shutin where you're chayim in shein and regel because you don't have permission to bring your shore in there. On the other hand, a bika is an open...
People stay in the motel to have a donkey or a mule or something that they would...
Right, but they put it outside, not inside the pundak. Now whereas in a bika, right, a bika is an open area, people graze their animals out there. Right, it's normal for animals to be found in the bika. In that case, you have permission to have both peirot and shvarim in the bika. In that case, we're going to say turim. Now, the question that Rabbi Zera presents, this matzik Rabbi Zera, came into the miyuchel of the peirot, habiina nu biar b'sera chayv lefko. In a sense, it's miyuchel the peirot, since both of them have permission to put peirot there, why is it considered biar b'sera chayv? I have permission to put my peirot there, you have permission to put your peirot there, both of my mazik and nizak. So why is it considered biar b'sera chayv? It's not a se'acher, it is both of our sedot. It's still both of our sedot. Very good. Oh, excellent. Amalei Abayis. Came in the interview, chedet the shvarim. Se'acher created the exactly what Joel is suggesting. That's right. You have to separate. I mean, the way I read it first led this way, but that's exactly it, right? That peirot, you're right. By peirot, it's not considered se'acher. But by gavi shor, that is se'acher because it doesn't have permission to be there. It doesn't have permission to be there, then it's not a se'acher. So now, we say that these two brachos, or these two tanaim, don't argue. So now, if we say that, why don't we also suggest, right, that the two amoraim also don't argue, right? Since the tanaim or the brachos don't argue, amorai nami lo pligid, let's say Rav Chista and Rav Elazar also don't argue. The tanaim, it says, you're right, ain't ochanami. That's the case that when Rav Elazar says it's patur, means when you have permission, both for peirot and shvarim. When Rav Chista yesterday said that you are chayav and shein and regel, that's only when you have permission to pay rolls and not permission for shvarim. Ve'im tim salom ar pligay. And even if you want to say that they argue, they don't argue on this din of shutvin. What are they arguing? A more narrower issue, which is the kushud Rabbi Ezer, piruka de abayi pligay. They argue on this machlokus between Rabbi Zera and abayi, whether it's considered or classified as zeacher. That everybody agrees that what if you have both have permission to be in there, meaning peirot and shvarim, then it's patur. The only question is, if you have permission for peirot and not for shvarim, is that patur or chayav, and that will rely on whether it's classified as se'acher. According to Rabbi Zeira, it's not classified as se'acher, and therefore you'll be patur. And according to Abayi, it is classified as se'acher because you don't have permission to bring your shor in there, and you will be chayav. So if you want to suggest this machlokus, it's just that narrow machlokus. Otherwise, we can suggest, just like the Braitos, like the Tanaim, that there is no machlokes between Rav Chisda and Rav Elazar. So now Gemara goes Gufa and wants to explain this Braitos more in detail. I ran through the Braitos, but now we're going to dissect this Braitos. It says, Arba kolot hayer Rav Shimon Elazar Omer v'nizakin. So first one is, Kol shiru reshut nizak v'lo l'mazik chayav bakol. So anything that belongs to the damagee and not to the mazik, then you're chayav in everything, right? And the Gemara says it should be chayav alakol. You're chayav on everything. What does it mean? Bakol. Bakol sounds like in full payment. I mean, there's no chassi nezek here. How can that be? So we have kol lo, tani, ela chayav bakol, bekule nezek. Means that you're chayav in all the nezek. Mani, who's the author of this? Rabbi Tarfon he. Rabbi Tarfon says, Damar Mishuna Karen. Mishuna is the term, because Karen by definition is Mishuna, not because of any fish. It's almost extraneous here. But Mishuna Karen, Bechazer and Izak, Nezek Shalem Mishalem. That Karen pays in the Chazer and Izak pays full Nezek Shalem. That when it is in Mishuta Rabbim, then you have Tam and then you have Mulat. But when you're in the Chazer and Izak and you do damage, you pay Nezek Shalem. That's the position of Rabbi Tarfon. So therefore, that's why the Braita says, Chayv Bakol, and not just Alakol. Not chayiv on any damage you do, but you're chayiv for all the damage you do, including Karen. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. Rabbi Tarfon is the author of that first statement, Amos Seifel. What are you going to do with the latter half of the Mishnah? It says, lo lezeh ve lo lezeh. What's the case when it doesn't belong to either of them? The field doesn't belong to either of them. Could go in chotzer she'enu shel shnehem. Chayiv ba'al l'shein ba'al regel. In shein and regel is chayiv, because that's ubir b'stei acher. My love, lo lezeh ve lo lezeh. Ilema lo lezeh ve lo lezeh. Klal. If you say neither of them have any rights in this field, oh, the acher, then it's a total third party. Vabino, beer, say acher. The leko, you need it to be in a say acher, and it's not. Why? Because I don't have permission to put my fruits here. You don't have permission to have your shore here. How can you make me culpable for eating your peyros when both of us don't belong here? Beer, say acher implies that my shore went into some place that belongs to you, where you have permission to have your peyros. If both of us have no permission to be here, then we can't hold you accountable, right, for the peyros that your shore eats. So must be, ela pshito, must be, lo lezeh, lo lezeh, ela dachat. It says, it doesn't belong to both of them, right? Not to him, but belongs to one of them. Viktani seifa, which one of them does it belong to? It belongs to the nizak. Viktani seifa, ta mishalim chati nezek, emuad mishalim nezek shalim. So then, in that case, it says what? That you are chayv on shein and regel, like the, earlier on we said, if it belongs to nizak, you're chayv on shein and regel. But over here we say, keren is chayv chati nezek, and nezek shalim, if it's emuad.
Why are we interpreting lo lezeh?
Alright, very good. So the Gemara will ask your question. Just right now, the Gemara is assuming that it can't be lo lezeh literally, because then we can't come up with a case where Shein and Regel is chayav. Alright, so now I have to interpret it somehow. So now they're interpreting it. Now you have an excellent question, which the Gemara is going to ask in a second. Well, then there's no longer four cases. There's really only three cases. These are subsets of two other cases in the Braita. It's an excellent question. The Gemara says, this is atan the Rabbana. This goes like the Rabbana. The Amrei Mishuna, Karen Bechatan Izak, Chatzin Nizak, Tu Mishalim. Now it's suggesting that in Chazar and Izak you only pay Chassi Nezek. If that's the case, but that goes like the Rabbana. So now you have a case with the Reishas Rabbi Tarfon, the Seifa Rabbana. That's it.
Why is
the
term
Mishuneh? The term Mishuneh, Rashi comes over here.
In Rabbi Tarfon I understand it. Because
right. It's, right, no, it's right, it's not. See, that's Mishuneh. I also, when I first read it, I thought Mishuneh meant it's different. Karen is different in this instance. But the way Rashi interprets Mishuneh over here, it's not that it's different. But Mishuneh is, by definition, Karen is Mishuneh. And it's almost like that. Mishuneh Karen. Karen is always different because it's Karnatol Azik. It's something that's unusual. It's not the natural way of the behemoth to act this way. So Mishuneh is not telling you about the din is Mishuneh, but rather that Karen itself is Mishuneh. Right. So the Gemara says, so now, Reisha Rabbi Tarfon Sefer Rabbanon in? He says, yeah, that's right. The Reisha Rabbi Tarfon and Sefer is Rabbanon. Ha'amar le'shmol Rav Yudha Shinnah. Shobuk Masin. He's going to talk about a Mishnah that's going to come on later on. But Tabatrai. Hey, leave that mission alone and I'll explain it to you after me. Reisha Rabbi Tarfon v'Sefer Rabbanon. That mission also has a breakdown in it, where half of it is Rabbi Tarfon and half of it is Rabbanon. So they'll come up with a couple of times that they split this mission up between Rabbanon and Rabbi Tarfon, and so too over here. Now, Ravina, Mishmei the Rabba, Mar Kula Rabbi Tarfon. The whole price is Rabbi Tarfon. Umay Lola Zeva Lola Zev. Lola Zeva Lola Zev the payroll. El Zachad. For payrolls, it's only Miyuchad to the Izak. But it's for both of them, our permission to bring in the, right, Shvarim. So now, in that case, when it comes to Shein, it belongs to the Nizak. By Karen, Abilah Rishut the Rabbin. And then in Karen it'll be Rishut Rabim. Now, Tosos changes the gears here because it doesn't make so much sense, right? Because if you have Lola Zev, Peiros, Elul Achad, right, that means that one of them has permission to put their fruits there, and the other two have permission to bring in their Shevarim. So now, what's that? The way Rashi learns it, right, is that since it belongs to one of them, it's in Nizak, and therefore, since you bring it in at this point, it's equivalent of being in a Rishut Rabim, because we both have permission. I have permission to put my fruits there, you have permission to put your Shevar there, right, and that is, but it would be Rishut Rabim Legabe Karen. But what do you do? The guy with Shane and Regal. Because by Shane and Regal, Rishut HaRabim is Patur. Right? If Shane and Regal is Patur in the Rishut HaRabim, right, then why are you Chayiv in Shane and Regal? So Rashi goes over here. The guy with Shane, Abiy Chaser, and Zach. Why? Right? This is 2-4 lines up from the bottom in Rashi. V'chayiv ha-mazik nizkei Shane, sure, the guy with Perot ain't elo l'nizak. So it's because it only belongs to Nizak for Perot, then it's classified as Patur and Nizak. That's what Rashi does. Tosus, on the other hand, changes the gears and reads. You see up here, Rabbeinu Tam Goris, Lola Zeh, but Lola Zeh L'Shvarim. So when it comes to the Shvarim, neither of them have permission to be in there. Okay, so if neither of them have permission to be in there by Karen, we have no problem. Then you're going to be Chayav in Karen, because, what? It's a Rishut HaRabim. And that's why you're Chayav Chatzi Nezek, because neither of you have permission there. When it comes to Shein V'Regel, then it's Ubir B'Seacher. You don't have permission to bring your Shor in there. I have permission to have my Perot there. The equivalent of Ubir B'Seacher. So those are the changes of the gears to three that both of you don't have permission to Shvarim, it fits in a little nicer. Rashi just kind of says that's what it is, but doesn't really explain because it doesn't seem to make so much sense. So Rabbeinu Tam changes the gears to make it flow much better. Now, Gemara says, this is Shaul's question, right? At this point, if that's the case, right? Then what? Ihochi, Arbaha, Shlosha Havu. What do you mean there are 4 cases in the Mishnah? There are only, really, 3 cases in the Mishnah. Now, if you explain the case that the Reisha is Rabbi Tarfon, and the Sefer is Rabbanon, that even though you're bringing a repetition of cases, it's necessary to explain to you the different din. One din according to Rabbi Tarfon, and one din according to Rabbanon. So at least there you can suggest that there are four different categories, because even though 2 of them are the same, it's teaching you a different din. One Rabbanon, one Rabbi Tarfon. But if you say Kula Rabbi Tarfon, then this 4th case becomes totally extraneous, because it's identical to other cases above in the Bereishis. Shlosha Havu. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, and Achanami. Shlosha Klolos, Barba'am Mikomot. Barba'am Mikomot. You're right. The only 3 general principles that come out of this Mishnah in 4 different types of situations. Alright, so we have 4 situations, which is, we have Rishut HaNizat, Rishut HaMazit, then Rishut HaShuftin, and in Rishut HaShuftin, we have different types of ways you can be a Shutaf in the category. So this can be a different case, types of way to be a Shutaf. Even though in one type of Shutafut, you become like a subcategory of 2 of the earlier sections. Nevertheless, it's a different mako, but it's the same din. Exactly that. You have 3 dinim, but 4 mikomot. Right? I don't know if it's so clear that he has a whole. It'd be easier to say that he has like one of them, because it makes more sense when you're establishing principles. But even when you do that, then you run into the weakness in the first chat is that you have 2 tanoim being mentioned in the same set of kolot, which doesn't make so much sense like you're suggesting. The weakness in making a kuli rabbi tarfon is now you only have 3 principles and not 4 principles. So you have to choose which weakness you prefer, right, in explaining the brisa. Alright, now the new Mishnah is totally cryptic. I'll just read the words, because the Gemara is going to go word for word and explain the Mishnah. It says, Shum Keseh, Shafa Keseh, Bitnei Beisin, Balti Edim, Bnei Chorim, Bnei Brit, Vanashim Bechlal, Anezek, Anitak, Vamazik, Patushul Min. Alright, totally cryptic Mishnah, right, and now we have to explain them. My Shum Keseh, let's start with Shum Keseh, what is that? Sam Rav Yehuda, it says, Shum Zeh, Lo Yehei Ela Bekeseh. This assessment should only be monetary in nature. Tanina lahad is an rabbanon. So this is a tanaic proof to what we have in the rabbanon, or that which is said here. Para sheezika talit, v'talit sheezika para. In umrim tetsi para v'talit, v'talit para. El shamino ta bidamim. Right. So there's a question. Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos had to read this piece of the Gemara. Seems from Rashi that they were either simultaneous or both of them caused damage to each other. A par caused damage to the talit. And the talit caused damage to the par. Right, so we don't just say, right, we don't say, oh, he tripped on it, right, he tripped on it, right, he tore it up when he was walking on it, but then he also slipped on it and slipped over or something like that. Somehow they both damaged each other. So we don't just say, net off the 2 against each other, and just say, okay, your par and my talit got damaged, so let's leave it all alone. But you have to actually assess the damage separately for each individual item. You have to assess the damage of the parah, and you have to assess the damage of the talit, and then you can set off the two monetary obligations. But you can't just say, naturally, Rashi says, oh, take the parah. Right, you take the parah, you do damage, or I'll take the talit. I mean, it doesn't work that way. You have to actually assess what the actual monetary damage is incurred, and then you'll offset that monetary obligation against each other, and then you can determine how much each person owes each other. That's according to Rashi. Rashi thinks that it's all one case here. There's a case where both the parah damaged the talit, and the talit damaged the parah. On the other hand, Tosfos believes actually that there are two separate cases. It doesn't have to be in a single instance this happened, but there's an instance where a parah damaged the talit, and an instance where the talit damaged the parah. And in each of those two cases, it's going to be a chiddush. The Gemara is coming to teach us a chiddush. Then in each of those cases, you have to assess the monetary damages, and not just take the item or the object. And here, we'll read the Tosfos and understand what it is, the chiddush in each case.
Tosfos says that the chiddush by the case of the talit getting damaged, what's the chiddush over there? The chiddush is that if you had yisomim, when you have yisomim, you can only collect from, right, you can only collect from items that were either nikveh mechayim, that were taken when you were still alive, or things that are, right, have yesh lehem achrayut, that have a certain amount of achrayut, but not from metalsalim. So let's do this in the Rabbeinu Tam, let's do this case here, that I would have thought, in a case, talit v'parah tishminan, below gabe, right, miyatme. You can't take it on yisomim. The lo stavka daskla. The likvei afagav the metalsal yatme lo mishabde. We know that the talsim of the yisomim don't go into shibud. The mashamra Torah min aliyah zeul yachot kochos shel nizak. The fact that the Torah gives you the ability to collect beyond the value of the shore that does damage is to your benefit. The main amazik shaveh nizko yishalei min aliyah. If the shore is not worth the total damage it does, then you can even collect from his, you know, his own, his house. If I, by yisomim, if I allow you to collect from the general household, right, from this guy's net worth, then it's my disadvantage. Then he's left to matalta ni yadme lo mishtabde. V'im ishtalim mi gufo, but if he already got, he takes from the shore itself that did the damage, yikve afilu mi yadme. Then he can take from yisomim. Why? It's as if he took the shore raised from life, because that shore is now obligated to pay the hezek. V'hava mina de mishalim mi gufo. I would think that the way that it works is that the habamina here is that the benefits, like say, remember the takana that we talked about before. When it says takana to your benefit, you can waive the takana when it doesn't work in your benefit. So same thing here, by the Torah. When the Torah says you have to pay now beyond the value of the actual damager, the beyond the shore, that's to my benefit. I'll waive that right when it doesn't benefit me. When does it not benefit me? When there's yisomim involved. As soon as there's yisomim involved, if I can collect it not from the shore but from the estate, then I'm not entitled to waive it because it's metalsalin. I'm not entitled to take it. If I'm entitled to take it from the shore, that shore became almost, right, the yuchas to pay for me, or I became puffas as if I took it already. And if I can collect from yisomim, so I'm going to waive my rights to collect from the aliyah, and I'm going to take it from gufo. That's what the Gemara comes to the Chiddush to say. You can't do that. You have to assess the damage, and when I say assess the damage, don't have that habamino. The truth is, when you pay me an aliyah, that's it. Aliyah means assess the damage. You take from it, the shore does not belong to you, and you can't waive your rights in that instance. That's what the Torah says the Chiddush here, is assessing the value of the object.
The Torah says, I may be at all.
Right. By Tom, that's the case. By Tom, it is Mishalim Mikufo. But don't say by Muad. When I say Mishalim and Aliyah, by Muad or by Shane and Regel, that means that's an added benefit that I can waive. No, that's the din, and you can't waive that right to go back to saying, I want Mikufo. That's what Tosfos is saying over here. Now, each one is bringing a Kiddush. According to Rashi and according to Tosfos here, according to Rashi, the Kiddush is that you can't just offset the damage against each other, say you take the par, I'll take the talit, or whatever it is, just let it go. Right? That you can't say. You have to actually assess the damage and then determine what the differential is and pay off each other. And so it says, no, each case is a separate Kiddush. One case, by the part of the damages the talit, this guy can teach us the Kiddush that don't think that paying from the aliyah is a right that you can waive. Right? And then the other way around is when the parah does damage to, when the talit does damage to the parah, right, don't think over there in that case of Karen, right, that you can just take the shore and that's it. Not to the Amma. No, you have to assess the damage and then figure out, right, what exactly owes you mitokha shore. You can't just automatically take the shore in place. So these are the chidushim why you have to assess the actual value of the material. Right, so now the Gemara says shava kesef. What does that mean in the Mishnah? The Tanur Rabbanon shava kesef, malamech, ain't based in his kakin al nechatim sheish lenachrayut. The based in will only go after the mazik if he has property. He only has real property. But if the Nizak went ahead and grabbed something, the Talmud would have said beforehand,
Basin Govin Lomahed, then Basin will take from that or will address the issue.
So you can focus whatever you want?
Yeah. If he did. We're not saying he can. If he did, then Basin will address it. So Amamar, Shabba Kesef, Malamai Shem Basin is Kesef Lenechatin Shesha Nechrayut. My Mashma. What does that mean? So Amar Rabba Barula, Dabar HaShabba Kol Kesef. How do I know that Shabba Kesef means just property or real property? How do I know that? Because he says, what? Something that is worth Kol Kesef. Something that's worth any amount of money in the world, my new, what's that? Dovar Shein Lo Ona. Something that isn't Lo Ona. Ona is a din that one may not overcharge, right, a person for a certain item. That is only true by metalfulness. By karka, there is no Ona. The Gemara says there's no Ona by karka, because karka is, number one, all night of beholder, right? It's very subjective in pricing, and it's also an area where everybody knows what the pricing is. You can get well-defined pricing, and therefore, there's no such concept as ona by property. Tosfos of the year says what he says throughout Shas. It says that there's only no ona until property until 50%. Beyond 50%, there is ona. Other Rishonim disagree and say there's no ona whatsoever by karka. Avadim u'shtarot na mein lehem ona. Wait a minute. That's what you think the definition of shavei kesef is. Avadim u'shtarot, which are domim lekarka, right? They're hukash lekarka. Eved kanani and a shtar is hukash lekarka, and they don't have ona either. So what are you going to say? That a star and you can grab a vodim and a star also? That we don't say here. Elam, Rabba Bar Ula, Dovar, and Nikne B'Kesef. Something that is acquired through Kesef. What is a Kenyan Kesef? What is a Kenyan Kesef? That's Karka. Right? Karka is Nikne B'Kesef. It says, Avadim U'Shtarot, Nami Nikne B'Kesef. Avadim U'Shtarot are also acquired through Kesef. Evid Kenani is acquired through Kesef because it's a Din like Karka. Shtar is Nikne B'Kesef. Rashi says, Lois B'Reish Hecha. He goes, I don't know where that is. He says, I never heard of that in Shas. Tosus eliminates it from the Girsa. It just says, Avadim Niknaim B'Kesef. El Aram Ravashi, Shava Kesef Velo Kesef. No, it means Shava Kesef because they have something that is worth money, but not money itself. So what is equivalent to money, but not money itself? That is Karka. It says, Vahani Kulu Kesef New. Any other metalcom is equivalent of Kesef. Why? Because if you can't sell it in this city, you can sell it somewhere else. So Shava Kesef is Karka, because it's equivalent to money, but not money. But everything else is considered money good. So Rami Le Rabu, the Bar Chinen, the Rabuna, Breda Yeshua, right? Probably thinking this already. Hana Shava Kesef, Malamech, Ein Bezin, Skakin, El Nechassin, Sheishlein, Acharyut. Va'atanya. And we have a price, so. Yoshi, the Rabot, Shava Kesef, Akilu Subin. Right, so now you're telling me that Shava Kesef means only Karka. And now we have another price that says Shava Kesef means anything, including Subin, including brand, or even the worst of stuff. So Gemara says, Hokka, my skin in our case over here is Biyatmeh. The case of Yisomim. So in the case of Yisomim, the only thing that is Shavu Kesef is Karka. Because the only thing you can be Gover from Yisomim is Karka. Because once the father passes away, then Yisomim, you're only allowed to be Gover from Karka, but not from Metalcolin. So Gemara says, if we're talking about orphans, right, we're talking about a case where their father passed away, Ema Seifa. What are you going to say the second half of the mission? Im Kodom Nizak Betofos Metalcolin, Basin Govin Lomahan. Wait a minute. If he goes ahead and grabs some metalcolin, Basin will address the issue even with metalcolin. If he asks me, am I Basin Govin Lomahan? What right did he have to be to face the metalcolin? He's not entitled to those metalcolin. If he goes and grabs them, we return them to the Yisomim. He's not entitled to take those metalcolin at all. So Kadama Rova, no, the case of Rav Nachman in another instance, remember, that's the case of Ksuba, the Tophas Michayim. It's also Achanami, the Tophas Michayim. That the Nizak went and grabbed his property before the Mazik died. And then after the Mazik dies, right, then we have a case. What's the case after the Mazik dies? So after the Mazik dies, if it's Karka, right, then he can be Gobe because he's entitled to Gobe Mikarka even from his Yisomim. If it's Metalcolin, if he grabbed them before the Mazik died, then he's a type of that is able to address his issue and be Gobe from him from those Metalcolin. But if he could go with them after he passed away, the Mazik from the Yisomim returns to the Yisomim because he doesn't have rights to those Metalcolin. Right now, Prat, Bifne Beisdin. What does it mean has to be done before Beisdin? Prat, Mokher Nechazav, Rachachach Cholech to Beisdin. This excludes the case where the guy sells all his property and then goes to Beisdin. So Shmami no. But wait a minute. You're suggesting that the guy, after he does damage, goes and sells out all of his property and then goes to Beisdin. He's not Chayiv anymore. I mean, what type of case is this? Why? Now you can have a case like this. Lova, person borrows money, umachar nechasav, and then sells all of his property, bachar kvach, bal beisdin, and then you want to come to beisdin, ain't beisdin doing govin lohen? Beisdin's not going to take it back from the kukos? And that's the way Rashi is. Rashi is what you're not going to take for the malva. The creditor has rights here first. He has a lien on this property. He's going to go and take the property back from those buyers because he has a lien on it. So too by Nizokim. Why don't you say the same thing? Just because he went and sold all his property after he does damage, the one he damaged has a lien on the property already. If he has a lien on the property, when he sells it out to the buyers, he can go and be Koresh. They can grab it back from the buyers. Ella, what does it mean? Prat the basin? Prat the basin shall have Yotos. You have to use a basin of Mumchen and not a basin of Hedjotos. Why? Because Rashi says here we're dealing with Dinei Kenasot. Even though nothing in our Mishnah is so far mentioned is a Din of Knas, nevertheless, since there are possibilities of Knas like Karen, Tom, maybe the Knas, Tosfos also suggested here in the next case we talk about Knas, even though it's not explicitly addressed in our Mishnah, but since we mentioned it in sidebars, we mentioned either according to the inclusion of Karen, right, the Chabalazik, or in other instances, there's a case of Knas, therefore, we're talking about Knas. By Knas, we need Mumchem and not just Hedjotos. So, and where it says now, Al Pi Edim, what does it mean? It has to be done Al Pi Edim. Prat, the Modeb Knas, Rechotach Bo Edim. So again, here's another case of Knas, again, which is not explicitly mentioned in the Mishnah. So that's what Rav Tosfos brings down over here. Okay, we're talking about this case, it's not explicitly mentioned, but still, you see the Gemara is addressing Knas. It says, the case where your Modeb Knas, what's the din of Modeb Knas? Patur. Someone admits to doing something that is then would be obligated him in a Knas and a fine, he's Patur if he does it. What if Edim comes and tell him that he did it, he's Chayav in the Knas. What happens if he jumps in his Modeb Knas, and then Edim come along afterwards and Mechayav him? Do the Edim override his admission to the Knas or not? So that's where it says, Prat the Modeb Knas, Rechach Bo Edim, Shu Patur. That's in a case where his Modeb Knas, then Edim come, he's still Patur. So it says, Anich, Lamandamar Modeb Knas, Rechach Bo Edim, Patur. But there is another Mandamar. There's another opinion that says, Lamandamar Modeb Knas, Rechach Bo Edim, Chayav, Ma'ikol Ameimar. Then what is Edim in our Mishnah? What's it coming to teach us on P.A. Edim? It says, Al Pi Edim comes to teach us the next part of the Mishnah. What's the next part of the Mishnah? Bnei Chorin or Bnei Brit. Means, they have to be, the Edim have to be Bnei Chorin, free people, and Bnei Brit, and Jews. Why is that? Bnei Chorin, Lemute, Avadim. When you be a Bnei Ben Chorin, means it excludes Avadim. Bnei Brit, Lemute, Ovde Chachamim, it excludes, right, non Jews. So, my sister, why don't I need both of them, right? They're almost, right, they both should be excluded by Bnei Brit, or they're supposed to be excluded by Bnei Chorin. The Ashmin and Eved Meshum Deino Yachta Yichus, right? A Eved doesn't have any Yichus because he's Am Adomeh Lechamor. Aval Nachri Yesh Lo Yach Yichus. We know that Nachri has Yichus that we proved already in the Gemara in Yevamot and in Kedushin. We talk about this. Emavol, maybe he could also be a good aid here. The Ashmin and Nachri Meshum Lo Shach VeMitzvot. Nachri has no Shach with the Mitzvot, therefore he's excluded from being an aid. But Eved the Shach with Mitzvot, like an Isha, he has at least some Shach with Isha. Emavol Tricha. I mean, we say that he could be an aid Tricha. You see over here that it comes along to teach us that Al Pi Edim, but it's coming to teach us about the Seifa, that they have to be Bnei Brit and Ben Korin to exclude both a Nachri and a Eved, that both of them are not qualified to be Edim when it comes to Nizakin. Okay, we'll stop over here.